1 Timothy chapter 6, and let's look at this verse, and we're told something that Paul writes to Timothy in verse 20, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 20, Paul writes, "O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called." And he tells us here that he has a burden for Timothy that he would keep that which is committed. And truly what we're going to find regarding Timothy is that Timothy certainly does have the capacity within his Christian life to stay by the stuff. Now, one of the things that we find about Timothy is that Timothy, the first missionary journey was about A.D. 47 or so. The Apostle Paul is going to be martyred about A.D. 67, so which is how many years? 20 years. So for about 20 years, Paul and Timothy are going to be very, very close. And of course that closeness begins to grow. I asked Patrick and Ken to put up the PowerPoint tonight because I want to review with you a little bit with Timothy, because there's much that we have said about Timothy. And again, this is an old PowerPoint and it's not moving. So if you can just move me ahead. This is an old PowerPoint basically showing the world. And we're focusing on North Africa under Europe over here in the Middle East. And you have the Mediterranean. This is the Mediterranean rim. And that's basically the place of the Apostle Paul's missionary journeys. And we have a close-up of that. Now, just to give you perspective, you have this area of Rome over here, and you have, of course, am I doing something wrong? I'm hitting that middle button. I'm trying to get my light going. Anyway, quit. So, basically, what we have here is this area, and again, nothing's working. Of course, thankfully, we have electronics to help us out of the mess, and when everything doesn't work, do what else? Nothing else works, change the battery. Okay. All right?
So either that or turn it off and turn it back on.
Okay. All right. All right, here is that picture of that again. So what's going to happen is Paul is going to go on these missionary journeys, and he goes back and forth. How many did he go on? 3. All right. So if you notice on the first missionary journey, Paul, the apostle, goes with Barnabas, and we've studied Barnabas because we're looking at the friends of Paul. And they come up here, and while they are in Lystra, we saw that a young man gets saved, and his name is Timothy. And maybe 22 years of age, 25 years of age, probably at the oldest. So, which tells us for the next 20 years of his life, boy, are things going to move. They come back, and of course, Paul and Barnabas, and they go down to Jerusalem. And we have the second missionary journey where Paul and Barnabas have a little bit of a split. And basically Barnabas takes John Mark and goes to Cyprus. But Paul then takes Silas with him and he goes up and ends up in this area. But this time he takes Timothy with him. And so they go on this missionary journey. And basically, we see that Timothy, and if you remember some of the things we said about Timothy, he had a mixed marriage, probably an unsaved daddy, and a Jewish mother. He had a mother and a grandmother that accepted Christ, according to 1 Timothy 1. He, according to 2 Timothy 3:15, he was studying in the Scriptures. He grew up knowing the Bible. And he knew what the Bible said. So when finally Paul comes and gives the gospel, he and probably his mother and grandmother all accepted Christ. They were baptized, according to 1 Timothy 6:12. And because of the great testimony of Paul, Timothy goes with them. And we saw that in regard to his going on this missionary journey, as we saw before, and I just am reviewing with you a little bit, we see that he basically aided Paul wherever he went. And basically what happens is this. So Paul gets up here, and they get the Macedonian call. Remember that? And he gets up here to Philippi, and the Philippian jailer gets saved. Lydia, church is in her home, and things are going well. Then they go over to Thessalonica, and while they're in Thessalonica, this church, a very young church, very motivated church, they come to Christ, and then but Paul gets chased out of town. They go to a place called Berea. Berea is the place that they were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they searched the Scriptures daily. Well, Paul decides to go down here to Athens because he was constantly being chased out of town. I mean, who likes hanging out with a guy who's just constantly causing trouble? But Paul tells Timothy and Silas, you guys get up here and work with these churches, and we won't go back and review all of that. And while they're in Corinthians, Silas and Timothy come and they start preaching. 2 Corinthians 1, I believe it's verse 7, says that Timothy was a young preacher boy. And then they eventually went and had a quick stop at Ephesus and then ended the missionary journey. The Bible then tells us that they go to the next missionary journey. And the next missionary journey, Paul goes to through here again. But this time he heads right to Ephesus. He stays in Ephesus for about 2 years. And while he's in Ephesus preaching, he sends ahead Timothy and they go up and they basically are there trying to collect an offering. And they're trying to collect an offering because down in Jerusalem there was some poverty. And they thought, well, let's go ahead and just show these Jews that the Gentiles can be saved just like the Jews can, and they can help you out. So the Bible tells us that Paul gets down here. He had, I believe, about 7 of them, including Timothy, that was basically keeping accountable the offering that was taken. And basically, we're told that Paul and them apparently were going to head back to Jerusalem. But when he found out that there were people wanting to attack him, Paul basically meets all of the 7 in Troas. They come here, and of course, the first time they're there, Paul's with there about 2 years. Paul had been in Corinth for about 1.5 years, but he decides, and apparently they all came back to Jerusalem. Now, what happens in Jerusalem? This is the third missionary journey. I preached about it Sunday. What's that? So the Apostle Paul is going to be arrested. And because he's arrested, the Bible tells us that Paul ends up taking a journey to Rome. So this is what I want to talk about. I want to talk about Timothy during the time after the missionary journeys. Now let me explain a few things, if I can keep all my notes straight here. It's my biggest problem, I got notes everywhere. Let me explain what happens, okay? After the third missionary journey, Paul is sent to Rome. In Rome, you know what Paul does? He writes what is known as the prison epistles. Who can name one of them? Philippians? Ephesians? Colossians? Philemon. She already mentioned Philippians. All right? So it depends. If you abbreviate Philippians and Philemon with just a PH and an L, I guess that could make it sound. But there's four of them. So it is interesting that Paul is in jail up in Rome. Now, there's been some debate, okay, is this where he died? Well, there is good indication, we won't try to prove that tonight, that he's released from Rome. And he went to Ephesus, and he goes to Ephesus from Rome, and he ends up with Timothy. All right? So, how do we know that? Well, if you'll notice, and I have some notes here that show that. There we go. Save you turning all these verses. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. You could write that down. It says, "As I besought thee to abide still," and he's writing to Timothy in the book of 1 Timothy, I want you to abide in Ephesus when I went into Macedonia. All right? So interesting. So while Paul is out of jail from Rome, he goes to Ephesus and he goes up to Macedonia area and he went to Macedonia. But what does Paul tell Timothy to do? To stay where? I read it. I should have had you turn to it. In Ephesus. So Paul goes up to Macedonia. Timothy stays in Ephesus. So that's why in the book of 1 Timothy, Paul is writing to Timothy about leading that church in Ephesus. And also during that time, the Bible tells us that after he went either in Macedonia or he comes down to Crete and he leaves there. And guess who he leaves there? He leaves a man named Titus. And when he leaves Titus there, he writes to Titus how to lead those people. And according to Titus chapter 3, verse 2 or 12, he went to Macedonia back there and he wrote a book to Titus. And while he's visiting Titus, more than likely what happens, Paul gets sent back to prison. And he's taken to Rome. And then he writes 2 Timothy. All right? Now that's just interesting. I'm fascinated when I look at that. Because a lot of times we're reading our New Testament books and we don't realize the time frame. So, when we consider Timothy, after Paul did his three missionary journeys, I want us to notice four things. Number one, we're going to see Timothy's loyalty. Timothy's loyalty. Now, I mentioned four letters, Philippians, Ephesians, Colossians, and Philemon. In Philippians and in Colossians and in Philemon, guess who's there when Paul writes those letters? Okay, let's just look at a couple of verses. Look at Philippians 1. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 1. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ. Now you're going to see that Paul identifies Timothy in the beginning of the book of Colossians. Now, one of the things I probably didn't emphasize last week, when Paul was in Ephesus for 2 years, he probably sent Timothy out to preach some missionary work, and Timothy was involved with Colossae. And guess who was in Colossae? Philemon. So, this is why we see that Paul was in prison on his first imprisonment. While he was there, Timothy was right by his side. Now think about that. He was a loyal friend. And the scripture tells us that Timothy was there in the writing. Now we have no indication if Timothy was imprisoned there, but he apparently tried to stay as close to his friend as he could. And I think it's important that we understand that he does this in spite of his infirmities. We're told in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 23, Paul says, "Drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities." And so, apparently, Timothy, in spite of the fact that it wasn't easy, he stayed right next to his friend, and he was an encouragement to him. He was loyal to him, and you know, it's very interesting. I've been pastoring now for 30-something years, and you know, it's wonderful to see some of you who have been with me most of these years. And understand that over those years, there's people who have come, people have gone. Sometimes people leave because they move. Sometimes they leave because of whatever, some conflict, or they didn't like something I did or whatever. But there is something about somebody who just stays with you. And as a matter of fact, if you go over to the book of 2 Timothy, now again, in using this time frame, this is probably around A.D. 67. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 9, Paul says to Timothy, "Do thy diligence to come unto me." So, if you look at chapter, you don't need to turn there, but in chapter 2, verse 9, Paul writes, "I suffer as an evildoer." And this is ultimately going to cause Paul to lose his head. And that's why in chapter 4, it tells us in verse 6, that "I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I finished the course. I've kept the faith." And it's interesting that through it all, Paul says, "I can count on my friend Timothy." As a matter of fact, if you look at chapter 4, verse 21, "Do thy diligence to come before winter." So, what we find is that Timothy is loyal. It's kind of like a dog who's loyal. You know, if you want unconditional love, get a dog. They'll just love you in spite of you. I mean, I've known of people who have mistreated their dog and their dog just licked their hand. And, you know, this is the kind of person Timothy was. Timothy was loyal. Now, if Paul had gotten away from God, do you think Timothy had been loyal? No, because who was Timothy loyal to? He was loyal to the Lord. So we see Timothy's loyalty. Secondly, I want you to see during this time frame, after the missionary journeys, Timothy's assignments. Now, if you go back over to Philippians 1, I do want you to see this. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 1, it tells us that Paul and Timotheus, the servant of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus. Now, this is an exception where Paul doesn't say, Paul the Apostle. He puts Timothy on an equal standing with him, and some, which gives us an indication that Timothy didn't partly write the book of Timothy, but I mean the book of Philippians, but he probably dictated it. So Paul, in prison, basically says, Timothy, write down these words of the Lord. And we have one of the greatest rejoicing books in the New Testament, the book of Philippians. Now, we already took you, well, let me take you, 1 Timothy chapter 1. Okay, 1 Timothy chapter 1. And now we have Paul writing to Timothy. This is when he is after his first imprisonment and before his second imprisonment. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3, as I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus. And that's what I was saying earlier. When I went into Macedonia. So remember I said that Paul goes up to Macedonia from Ephesus and he says to Timothy, I want you to stay here. Paul, under the inspiration of God, writes Timothy, and he basically tells Timothy, I want you to supervise the churches there. And of course, if you remember in Acts chapter, is it chapter 20, where the Bible tells us that Paul, on his way from his third missionary journey, he speaks to the Ephesian elders. So they obviously had a pastor. But basically what Timothy was doing here is he was kind of the missionary director to encourage those churches. And this is why you have him writing to them people, and he tells them that, verse 6, there's some that have swerved from the faith. You need to, you know, straighten those people up. You know, don't let them get into false doctrine. He basically tells them in 1 Timothy how to organize as a church. He tells them how to pray. He sets up the qualifications of the bishop. And if you remember in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went on before thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. And he basically talks, sets up instructions on how to set up deacons. And even to this day, God has used this writing to Timothy to help us to know how we are to stand fast in the faith. And that's why in 6, verse 20, he says, Timothy, keep that which is committed to thee. So, Timothy dictated Philippians, probably. Timothy supervised the church in Ephesus, which of course we know what happens to Ephesus, right? Now, of course, we have the book of Ephesians. Paul writes to Ephesians. He also writes to the Colossians, which both of them were basically two letters that switched churches. And we come to the book of Revelation. What happens to the church at Ephesus? They lose their first love. So, Timothy is involved in that. And then if you go over to the book of Philippians, it tells us in chapter 2 that during this time, Paul writes, verse 19, and he's writing to the Philippians, and he says, I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus. So Paul was with Timothy, and Paul says to Timothy, I want you to go back, and I want you to go to the Philippian church, that, verse 19, I may also be a good comfort when I know your state. Now, just to give you some sense that Timothy not only dictated the book of Philippians, not only supervised the church in Ephesus, but he encouraged Paul by making that strenuous journey just so he could find out that the Philippian church is doing well. So we see Timothy's loyalty. We see Timothy's assignment. Thirdly, we see Timothy's credentials. Because here in Philippians chapter 2, the scripture tells us what Timothy was like. And this is why Paul, of all people, sent Timothy. He gives us four reasons. Verse 20. He is like-minded. Now think about that. To be like-minded, to think like Paul. And when you consider Paul, who wanted to get to know God, and he pressed toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God, and he wanted others to follow his example. Think about this. Paul says, I can think of nobody who is as one-souled. That's what that Greek means. He is one-souled, or he is like-minded like me. And so if you wanted to get a sense of what Timothy is like, just look at the Apostle Paul. Of course, Timothy does not have the dynamic personality of Paul, but he truly was like-minded. And you know, this is what you want in a church. You want people to be like-minded. I've been preaching on that. And of course, Philippians chapter 3, remember we talked about that? To let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That we are not fighting and bickering over non-essentials. That we understand that there's like-mindedness. Timothy was like-minded. Number 2, it tells us in verse 20, he naturally cared for those Philippians. He didn't do things because somebody made him do it. He didn't serve the Lord because, well, I guess I have to because God is going to make me. And Paul says here that Timothy was genuinely concerned about the Philippians. He did not work with the people out of duty, but out of genuine concern. You know, this is the problem. You know, what do you do with somebody? You know, you say, let's serve the Lord! And you say, let's go! And, okay, if I have to. Well, that's not the kind of an attitude you're looking for. You want people to care for the people they're ministering to. And so whether you're a Sunday school teacher, or whether you're an usher, or whether you're in the nursery, I mean, who wants nursery workers who don't care about kids? And, you know, who wants ushers who could care less if that person sits there all by himself? You know, who wants people like that? Now, sometimes you have to work with what you got. But Paul says, Timothy, he says to the Philippians, Timothy naturally cares for your state. Thirdly, we're told that it says in verse 21, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. So the third thing we see about Timothy, he was sacrificing. You know, it is not easy sitting with a prisoner half the day. And Paul says, Timothy, would you go back to the Philippians church, Philippi church? Okay, if I have to. No, he sacrificed himself to do what God wanted him to do. You see, we're all very selfish, aren't we? This is why the greatest commandment is self-sacrificing love. For God so loved the world that he sacrificed himself. And we are to love our neighbors as ourselves. We do a lot of sacrificing for ourselves. And Timothy was not self-absorbed. And in verse 22, it tells us that ye know the proof of him that as a son with the father, he hath what? Served with me in the gospel. Even to the point of prison. And it's interesting that he was willing to serve with a servant's heart. Jesus said that if a person is going to serve, he's got to serve, recognize that others are bigger than him. You know, a servant, a great leader, according to Jesus, is a servant. And people want others doing things for them. But a servant does things for others. And this is what we see with Timothy all along, that Timothy is somebody who is constantly serving Paul. He's constantly serving the Ephesians. He's serving the Corinthians. He is constantly serving wherever he goes. Paul said, I want you to go there and be my lead man. And he doesn't. He was a servant. So we see Timothy's credentials. And then fourthly, and we'll have to quit, we see Timothy's faithfulness. Timothy's faithfulness. Now we've already read 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 9 and 21, where Paul says, okay, Timothy, why don't you come and I just need your encouragement. I need your strength. I need your help. And when you come, you know, bring some items with you. Bring the parchments. Apparently, Paul was whisked off to Rome. And he's in this dark dungeon and he's going to die. Now, we don't even know if Timothy ever got there. But there's one other verse that I want you to see. One other verse, it's in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 13. And in Hebrews, who wrote Hebrews, by the way? Okay, so Joe thinks Paul wrote Hebrews. We really don't know. They tell us that if you read the English, Paul had to have written Hebrews, and then I've had people who could read the Greek that would say Paul couldn't have written Hebrews, and we just don't really know. But did you know that Timothy's in the book of Hebrews? And if you go to Hebrews chapter 13, the writer of Hebrews says in verse 23, know ye that our brother Timothy is set at liberty, with whom, if he come shortly, I will see you. Now, could this be when Paul's in Rome? Does Timothy go? Or whatever. But whatever seems to happen, the last thing we know about Timothy is he's imprisoned. And we find that Timothy was faithful, as far as we know, right up to the very end. You know, a lot of people start well, and they'll go well for a while. But boy, it's wonderful when you see somebody who, after years and decades, still serve the Lord. And Timothy was faithful. And we see that in his faithfulness, he was even willing to go to jail for the Lord Jesus. Are you willing to go to jail for the Lord Jesus? Now, I hope you don't think of that as just a hypothetical thought, because you know what? You could go to jail for Jesus. And it's interesting because when the Lord comes, we want to be faithful. And we certainly want the Lord to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." C.H. Spurgeon wrote this account, and he said, "I suppose that I am something like Mr. Cecil when he was a boy. His father once told him to wait in a gateway till he came back. And the father, being very busy, went about the city amid his numerous cases and engagements, forgot the boy. Night came on, and at last, when the father reached home, there was a great inquiry as to where Richard was. The father said, 'Oh no, I left him in the morning standing under such and such a gateway. And I told him to stay there till I came for him. I could not wonder but that he is there now.' So he went, and guess what? The boy was right there." The Bible tells us that we need to stay right where God puts us. And it's easy to be a quitter. And it's easy to say, "Well, I can't do this anymore." But we need to be like Timothy. Not the dynamic person like Paul, but a man who served the Lord, and we see his work all the way through the New Testament. And if you're not careful, you'll miss it. Jesus was faithful to death, right? Paul was faithful to death. Timothy was faithful, and as far as we know, to the end of his life. So my question to you is this. Are you ready to quit? You ready to give it up? You're all done? Don't do that. The Lord would never do that to you. Jesus said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." And the Lord says, "I will be with you always, even unto the end of the world." Now, Lord, we thank you for Timothy. And there's so much that